For the next session, I am absolutely delighted to be joined by two of my favorite people. Anthony is a senior program manager on Azure Functions. If you're using SignalR on VS Code, he is responsible for that. You can blame him or you can thank him. And we're also joined by Mark Duker. He's a lead Azure consultant at Experian. He's also an Azure MVP, and he's joining us from the Netherlands. Everyone, give a warm welcome in the chat. We want to hear you. We want to see your presence there. To Anthony and Mark, they're going to be discussing overcoming serverless challenges with durable functions. Over to you both.
All right. Thanks, Simona. And thanks for joining us, everyone. So Mark and I are going to talk about durable functions today. And durable functions introduces a whole bunch of new patterns for programming Azure Functions. But I guess before we get into those new patterns, Mark, maybe we should talk a little bit about some of the challenges that serverless functions face today that durable functions help us solve.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, so I'm a consultant and I usually go to other clients and to help them with some serverless challenges. And what I usually see is that they try to apply the patterns that they already know for several years and to apply it to an event-driven and serverless architecture. And that often does not work. For instance, when you're building an expense management tool that has several functionalities, you need to scan in the receipts, you need to analyze them, you need to do calculations, you need to store them and call out to different APIs. So how are you translating that to serverless? So I see some people putting all of that responsibility into just one big function, but then they run into duration limits of Azure Functions in the consumption plan. So that's definitely not ideal. Another approach is that they split up the functionality into several functions. So that's already way better. But then the challenge is how do you communicate between those different functions and how do you do with state transfer between those functions? And I think one of the biggest challenges is what happens when you do long-running processes. For instance, an approval workflow, you need to wait for an approval from a manager, and that can take maybe hours or days. I mean, regular Azure Functions, they don't run for hours or days. So those were definitely a lot of challenges I see day to day.
Yeah, that sounds good. So so now let's jump into some of the patterns that durable functions adds to the way that we can write serverless functions.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah. And maybe before we do that, maybe very briefly what durable functions is, because durable functions allows you to write workflows or orchestrations in code. So it's fairly natural for developers. So you don't need to configure or you don't need to use a UI, which is not testable, just plain code. And the very nice thing is that the instance of that workflow or orchestrator is persisted to disk. And that allows you to have longer execution time, so you're not limited to the maximum execution time of 10 minutes, which is really, really a big win. When you're working with durable functions, you'll notice that there are several function roles. So let's start all the way to the left. So either you or a system triggers a function, and that could be an HTTP function or a Q-triggered function. It can be anything. And the responsibility of that client function is to create an instance of an orchestrator function. So that's the FO one. And that orchestrator function, that contains your workflow as code. So in that orchestrator function, there's usually some business logic. I'm first calling out to several activity functions. So those are the functions all the way to the right. So I'm first calling activity function one, and then I'm calling function two, and then function three. So there you define the sequence of all of your activities. And what's usually inside those activity functions are calls to a database to get some data or to store some data or call out to an external API to get some data. So that's very typical for durable functions that you have to deal with these different function roles. And the combination of all these roles allows you to really apply different application patterns, as you mentioned, Anthony. So let's start with this one, the function chaining. It's the most basic one, and the one you'll want to use straight from the bat, because you usually want to enforce some communication between functions. So you want to conceptually call first an activity, and then call another activity, and then another activity. But this is not how it actually happens when you use durable functions, because activity functions don't communicate with one another. It all goes through the orchestrator. So the orchestrator calls function A1. And then once the A1 is finished, the orchestrator will call function A2. And once that is finished, the orchestrator will call function A3.
All right, so like in real life, this would be like, for instance, like calling, like maybe like an extract, transform, and load kind of process, the ETL process, where you can take data through different parts of a pipeline, and that's what the different functions will do?
Exactly. So hey, you apply this when the order is very important. If you take the example of the expense management sample again, so first you need to indeed get some images from your user, you need to process them. So that's a second step. Then you're combining the analyzed data and converting into some numbers. And then as a last step, you're storing it. So the order is important.
Awesome. Let's talk about another pattern that we can solve with durable functions.
Yeah, let's skip the code for now. So another very important and useful one is, sometimes the sequence is not important, but you want to do as much of things in parallel. So that's what we call the fan out, fan in pattern. So here we start with a activity function one. So let's say that returns an array of objects. So let's say it returns 100 objects. And then for each of the items in that array, we want to call the other function, FA2. So that's the fan out part. But then we're not done yet, because we want to aggregate over the results over these function A2s. And only then we want to continue with function A3. So that's the fan in part again. And usually the fan out part is quite easy, but the fan in part is usually quite difficult. But that's where durable function really shines, because it makes it very super easy to do.
Yeah, and then while we find fan out, it sounds like the functions can run across many, many machines in the cloud, versus being confined to a single machine. So you get all the compute power that you can get with serverless, hopefully pretty easily. Do you have any code to show us?
Definitely. There is a small sample here. So this orchestrator function is just a method. Here's a Python sample. And the first activity, which is called, it's a function F1. And that returns a work batch. So that contains an array of elements. The next thing we do is, for each of the items in the work batch, for each item B, we prepare another activity call, function F2, and we pass it in item B. But we are actually not making the call yet. So we only prepare the tasks. So right here in the parallel tasks, that's our collection of all of our tasks we want to execute. But only in this line here below, we are actually performing the fan out and fan in part. So only once the orchestrator has passed the output line, it has fanned back in again, and we have the results of all of the F2 activities, and we can do some aggregation or some function in this case. And then we're going to call function A3. Also for demo, shall we do that?
Yeah, let's do a quick demo.
Okay. So here's a cat or dog image classifier. So let's give it 100 random images of cats and dogs. So that's the initial function, activity function. And once it has all of those 100 images, it will fan out and it will try to process as many of them in parallel as possible. And what we will eventually see is that the images per second here at the top right, that will increase. So you can actually see the scale out. And then there's also a progress bar, so you can see how fast it's going.
Yeah, you can see it getting faster and faster as it's getting more and more compute. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It's almost 3 images per second, and it's still increasing. So almost 5, 6 images per second. And then you also see it scale down. Yeah, so now it's done. So it's pretty fast for 100 images, thanks to the function's fan out, fan in pattern.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So I guess we have a couple of minutes left. Do you want to just quickly go over some of the other patterns that you that we can tackle?
Once is very useful. It's called the monitor pattern. So what if you want to monitor for an external state, and that might take hours or days. It can take very long, which is normally as a function is very difficult to do. So the concept is this: you have an orchestrator and you call out to an API inside an activity function. And based on that result from the API, you either decide, okay, I'm going to wait a couple of minutes and then call the API again, or you might decide to stop the orchestrator. An example for this could be checking a weather API, and if it returns that it's going to rain, you want to send yourself a notification so you can get your laundry inside, for instance. It's very important in the Netherlands. I mean, it rains a lot. So,
yeah same thing here in Vancouver.
All right. I think I've got one more. Yes, the human interaction pattern. That's a very useful one, especially if we go to the sample again of the expense management tool again. So let's say you have your expense reports, but it needs to be approved by your manager. Jubel functions can start this orchestrator, but then it will wait for an external event. And the event is then your manager clicks a button or clicks a link in an email of, okay, I'm going to approve your expense report. And based on that event, it continues with the orchestration. So in case your manager approves, it goes to function A1. And in case he will not approve, it will go to function A2. So that's a very nice way to put in human interaction events into long-running operations.
Wow, that's really cool. So hopefully that gives everyone a good opportunity to kind of understand what Jubel functions might be capable of, and you can dive in a little bit more later.
Yeah, exactly. And there are even lots and lots more more samples out there. It's just, I was just scratching the surface, but we've got four of them. I have a bit of homework as well for people if they want to know more about Jubel functions, and I really advise you to look at this. So go to bit.ly/Jubel homework, and you'll see a couple of links there. I will briefly show it. So this is the gist. You'll end up in this gist. And it contains a link to a blog post by Mikhail Shilkov, which is a very nice, very readable, very approachable blog post with nice graphics on how Jubel functions work. Then a bit of shameless self-promotion, link to my vlog, because I've got quite some videos about Jubel functions. Most of the code samples are in C#, but all of the patterns are translated across all languages, so that should be fine. If you want to look at the demo you just saw about the cat-dog analysis, it's actually done by Anthony. So this is the GitHub link to it. And finally, the documentation is really very good, and it also has a lot of samples in many different languages. So please check all these links out.
Awesome. Thank you, Mark.
Cool. Any questions?
Hi, all. Okay. That was such a great session. I loved your slides, Mark. Those were really, really awesome. And then there were actually tons of questions in the chat, and we appreciate them. And I think if both of you, Anthony and Mark, can go into the chat and reply to some of them, that would be really awesome. There were some comments about Mark's t-shirt, as usual. And we want to make up for a couple minutes of time, so I'm gonna switch over to the next session. But it was so, so great to have you both, Anthony and Mark. Awesome work, and I'm excited for everything that Jubel functions can help us achieve with serverless. So good to see you. Take care.
Okay.
Bye. You can all see that I'm a waiver. I am definitely one of those people.